work them in here as we go down through here. You know, a couple, I don't even remember when I did this. It wasn't last week. It must have been the week before that. But I just made a reference to the fact that when a family or a couple of kids in the family get into a situation where either the boy gets some girl pregnant or the girl gets pregnant by some guy, that there's a process that you go through to try to get to a biblical end that will work. And, I make statements sometimes, you know, and I never really think twice about them. I just put them in wherever I'm going to make, you know, kind of like the parsley on the side of your steak just to give it some color. But it's a thing where when I get probably 20, 25 people that either email me, call me, or text me, ask me to lay something out, that I know that it's an issue that people that needs to be dealt with. Now, many of you work with me in the people ministry, so in your case, this will be really valuable to you. And and dealing with unwed pregnancies. You know, over the last many, many, many years of my life, there was a time there, I don't do it anymore, but there was a time where I literally went, I was almost gone every week someplace to a church doing different things. I had a church history course that I did. We did discipleship. But I also had a family marriage enrichment class, whatever, and dealing with family, dealing with problems. And in every church I was at, and I was in a lot of them, this question always, it sooner or later came up. And it's a situation that, it's very prevalent today. So, like I said, when I get all these requests for everything that when I say something like that, I know that I've hit a nerve and people want to know, and yet at the same time, you will be working with me at some point in a situation like this, and so you need to know so we're on the same page, you know. And so allow me to lay it out for you as far as the options that you have. Now, that's a key word, the word option, because as you know from the people ministry and dealing with people, you never tell people what to do. I never tell people what they need to do because they're the ones that have to live it out and deal with it and go through it and put all the levers and pieces and bolts together. And, so you never directly tell somebody you need to do this, obviously other than getting saved, of course. But when it comes to problems that people are dealing with, you need to lay out their options. And then allow them and to ask questions about the options, and then whatever option they choose, help them the best that they can. And, you know, it's just the way it has to work. And so what I'm telling you, you know, I have I've gotten through 50-some plus years of dealing with people. And, you know, in this situation with dealing with illegitimate pregnancies out of wedlock, I'd say probably, and I was thinking about this today, I'd say probably in all my years, probably 20, maybe 25 times I was directly involved in one of these scenarios. Probably another 20, maybe 25 indirectly where a pastor called me or I got called in on a consultation to help with a situation because the pastor really didn't know how to handle it. So this is something that, you know, I'm not just speaking off the top of my head. This is something that I've had a vast amount of experience about. And through that experience, I've seen what works and what doesn't work. And even having said that, I still tell people that's your option, it's your choice. But I think that, you know, in anything in life, and I don't care what it is, when you have a decision to make or you're up against something that you're dealing with, you have got to find out what your options are. Moving ahead without understanding what the options are is never good. And many times you'll wind up going down the wrong road. So no matter what it may be, when something you're faced with, before you make that final decision, you need to know what your options are. And so this is something that I've dealt with for many, 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 many years. You find a lot of people today, they're what I call the armchair quarterbacks. You know, they've never pastored a church. They've never dealt with people. They can't even get their own family where they need to be. But yet they're the experts on everything, that the way you do things. And I don't have a lot of time or patience with people like that. They really don't come into my world anyhow. So, but they're out there. I mean, you have to deal with them from time to time. But, you know, we just sidestep them and move on. But the first thing I want to tell you is this. These things happen. I mean, they happen all the time. We've come into the world system where the sanctity of marriage in the world is completely gone. I mean, people are living together, they have kids, a lot of famous people will live with somebody and then they'll have kids and then they'll get married. You see it all the time. Everybody, under the table, on the floor. I love that song. What's this? What's that? Dive, dive, clear the bridge. Okay. Okay. I know what it is. I get it every night about this time. Medicare wanted to tell me that he got a knee brace for me. I get them. They call me up sometimes and they'll say, is Mr. Alexander there? And I'd say, no. When will we return? He passed away about 2 weeks ago. Oh, I am so sorry. Never hear from him again. I love it. Anyway, and I'm sure out there in the world there's a Mr. Alexander that died a couple of days ago. But anyway, so it's a thing where, you know, these things happen. And the world view of marriage, even though it's an unsaved world, for many, many, many years, this world, the unsaved world, even had some values. But that's all gone today. And unfortunately, that same mindset has crept into Christianity. And again, not to beat a dead horse, but it's because of the fact that we have no final authority. The Word of God is not held up, and nobody goes by it, even though everybody likes to say they do and claim that they do. When push comes to shove, that's where you really see whether they do it or not, especially in a case like this. Now, let me say this. When this happens, does happen, a child of God, which, you know, is for him, I want you to know, it's not the kids directly. I mean, I'm not justifying what they did, but I want you to know that when these things happen, the main focus has to be the illegitimate child. This is not about mom and dad, grandma, grandpa. This is not about, and I don't know of any area that is as emotionally charged that you get into, other than maybe the abortion issue. But you talk about it, an electrically charged issue in a family when this happens. Everybody's running on emotions, and nobody is running on biblical principles. And that always leads to a disaster. And it's a thing where, you know, when it happens, it's about the child. It's not about the kid that got pregnant and had the child. It's not about the grandparents or to be grandparents. It's not about any of that. But that's what it gets focused on. And everybody just loses sight of the child. And what I want to do tonight is, by walking you through this, help you maybe see that isn't about any of those things, but what it really is about. And then you out there on YouTube can better understand it. Maybe you're finding yourself, or you know somebody that's in a situation like this. Obviously, there's 20, 30 people out there that want to know, and we will deal with it. We don't deal with it here much ever anymore because everybody's so dialed in. You know, we'll get somebody off the street or somebody someplace that, you know, that it comes in that situation, and then we'll be in a better position to help them. And, you know, in a situation like this, it's always best to have somebody help you that not only has the biblical principles to guide you through it, but also has no emotion in the thing. Trust me, in these cases, emotion will rule the day. And everyone I've ever dealt with, it's been an emotional roller coaster. And when you get emotional and you get your emotions involved, you don't make good decisions. You don't make Bible-based decisions. And we as Christians, and I know what I'm saying is easy to say and hard to do for many people, but you can't, in any given situation you're in as a Christian, you can't let emotion rule the day. That's what happened with the COVID-19. It ruled, fear ruled the day in so many of God's people. We had so many people that just, you know, before it hit, you know, love God, love the Word of God, took stood for everything, you know, hell or high water, we'll be here, da-da-da-da-da-da. And the moment they were put up against something that they were afraid of, emotion ruled the day. And, you know, and that's just the way that it works. And you can never let that happen in anything. But especially not in a situation like this, because you're dealing now with situations that eternally will really can go one way or the other. Now, let's start at the base level, and we'll work our way up. And we're just going to start at the bottom bedrock, and then we're going to work through it every place we ought to come up to what we're going to deal with. And let me start by saying this. Fundamentally, keep this in the back of your mind in everything that we do. Illegitimate children are not the fault of the two kids who got into the illegitimate situation. Now, that doesn't relieve them of any responsibility or accountability. But we must face the hard, cold facts here. Illegitimate children will be the product of illegitimate parenting. And this is vital that you understand this. You know, a failed parenting will produce many things in a kid's life, but when we're talking about this, that's what it produces. Somebody taught them or didn't teach them about biblical morals and give them some kind of hardcore value system. So they grow up like the parents, lawless. And I've told you many, many times, when a mom and their dad don't follow biblical principles, and they may go to church every Sunday, they may have a King James Bible, they probably read it every day. It isn't about that. It's about when push comes to shove, what principles are you following in your own life and parenting these kids in the right direction when they face it, that they have some kind of moral code or moral value system to be able to take a stand and not succumb to it. And, you know, somebody never taught them a value system, biblical morals. And even though the kids bear their own responsibility and accountability in this, and there's no question about that, ultimately it will go back to mom and dad's getting, you know, cut from the parent of the year list. And it's a thing where, you know, you have to understand that, because what happens is this, and you're going to see this as we go through it, and I've dealt with this in every situation I've dealt with. You're going to find that that mom and dad who produced the kids, who got into the trouble, when the trouble comes, they take no responsibility for it whatsoever. They'll blame it on the kids. Many times, you know, they'll blame it on somebody else, like the family I told you about a couple weeks ago, you know, that was all screwed up. And they'll blame it on somebody else, but the parents will never take responsibility. And let me tell you something. The bedrock foundation of fixing this has to start right there. And that's where it never gets dealt with. Parents who don't do right to keep their children out of this situation there'll be absolutely no help in dealing when the situation arises. I'm just telling you. And I'm not somebody I've been in this situation many, many times. I've seen every scenario there is and had to deal with it. And I'm telling you, parents who don't do right to keep their children out of this situation will be absolutely no help in dealing with it when the situation arises. And the reason for that is one of our counseling principles, isn't it? You can't fix problems with the same stupid thinking that caused the problems. You have to change something somewhere. And when it comes to your children, when it comes to a situation like this, it has to start with a parent. Bad parenting will always produce bad kids. It's just that simple. Now, I told you there was four or five things the other day, and you know, and as I sat down and thought this thing through, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to grab my notes out of the old days when I used to do this thing and walk you through it and maybe develop a little bit more for you. But these are what you find. Now, I'm going to show you what you find, what they're going to say they're going to do, and then I'm going to show you why it won't work. And I want you to learn from it. And there's only two scenarios that, and keep in mind that all of this is not about the two kids that are in this trouble. It's not about the parents or the grandparents. It's about the baby, the child that's going to be born into this situation. Now, for years and years and years, and this is not only true in the world, but it's been true in Christianity, when a guy got a girl pregnant, the thing was, well, now you got to get married. And the parents actually thought that that would solve the problem. Well, it may give legitimacy to the baby being born, but it's a thing where it certainly is not going to help the situation in any way, shape, or form. And they think that this is going to fix it. You know, and because they really aren't biblical-based to begin with, the parents, we can't expect the kids to be, but because the parents aren't, they don't understand that God has an order to things. There's an order to marriage. There's a reason for marriage. And there's a reason why God gave marriage. The world didn't come up with the idea of getting married. That was God's institution. In fact, it's one of the three institutions that he established in the book of Genesis. But there's an order to it. There's a right way to do it. And obviously, there's a wrong way to do it. And, you know, and it's a case where, you know, you have to follow that and you have to understand that. It should have been taught to your children. But it's a thing where, you know, it just never does. And marriage, for a marriage to work, it'll have to be Bible-based. And so getting pregnant is never the reason to get married. But yet, that's the way they think. And I'll tell you why. Because when this happens in a family, there's an embarrassment issue here. I mean, you're out there pretending you're some great spiritual guru, and suddenly, you know, somebody in your family either got somebody pregnant or got pregnant. And now, what is your friends going to think? What is the people at church going to think? So there's an embarrassment issue. So what we do, human nature, especially with unbiblical parents, what we do is try to find the fast-track solution to give it some legitimacy. And that'll be, let them get married. Now, the problem with that, and I'll just say this, has happened, and I don't remember the number of times, but I'm going to tell you right now, it has never worked out. And I'll tell you why. And these are things you need to learn, especially if you're listening in and you ask the question. You know, first of all, everything is backwards here. You don't have, in God's plan, you don't have kids first and then get married. You understand what marriage is. You get married, and then through that, you have produced kids. That's the way it works. And when you have two people who are in this situation, obviously they're not operating by biblical principles. So now they're going to have a baby, which changes your life completely. I mean, when you have a child, even in marriage, you know, you get married, and after a while, and I have people come to me all the time, and they say, hey, we're thinking about having a child. What do you think? And I said, all I can tell you is this. When you have a baby, your life changes. It's no longer going to be the way it was. And many people don't get that. They don't understand that. They kind of want to have a quasi, well, you know, like it was when I was single. No. Once you get that child becomes the total focus of your life to do with them, to get them where God wants them to be. And nobody does that in the early years better than a mother. So And I tell them, if you're not willing to understand that, then don't have a child. Well, now you can see we have two kids here that one of them, they're going to have a baby. They're not spiritual in any way, shape, or form, or they wouldn't have gotten that situation to begin with. They could fall back on their parents. That's like being falling off of a tree and falling through a wall of toilet paper. It isn't going to hold you up. They got their own problems. So now, because they want to add legitimacy to this in a quick way, they'll say, well, you guys need to get married. Well, what happens now is now they're dealing with the pregnancy, which changes your life, and then you're adding another 10,000 pounds on that of a marriage that they're not ready to handle. Actually, they're not ready to handle either one. Having to deal with one is bad enough. Having to deal with two is probably will never work. They're both too young. They're not ready to handle the change of a child becoming into their life. And in most cases, the guy, he doesn't have a very good job. I mean, they're 17, 18, or 19 years old, somewhere in there, maybe younger. And so he's working at a drive-thru at McDonald's someplace, you know, making $10 an hour. And now he's suddenly thrust into this situation that he's totally unprepared for, not only financially, but emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And then he's got a gal who is no better than he is. She's certainly not going to be able to go to work. So now you can see adding to that the aspect of marriage is just too compounding. It's too much pressure to survive. And here is the fundamental problem. This is why these, when you do this, I've never seen one work. It's because fundamentally, there's no commitment. She was a girl that you liked, and you got her pregnant, but marriage was never in the mind. You never followed through the biblical principles. You never went through the dating process biblically laid out in Genesis. So now here you are in a very bad situation, forced to get into the marriage, and there's no commitment. And what will happen, I'm telling you right now, this marriage will be upside down from the start. And what will happen, and I see it, I've seen it all the time. She's 17 or 18, now she's saddled with a baby. She's going to miss her 19, 20, 21, 22 fun years because she's saddled at home with a baby. She's not going to like that. You know why? Because there's no commitment. There was no commitment to the Word of God. There's no commitment to the guy. There's no commitment to the child. Oh, she'll tell you she loves the child, but when push comes to shove, she's going to, at some point, they're going to split up. And they're going to split up because, and I've seen it with the guy. The guy now has to be home at night. He can't go out with his buddies anymore. He can't just run free, whatever he wants to do. He's locked in now to a wife and to a child, and he's very immature, and he doesn't have the ability because he's got it in everything backwards now, and the pressure is so great that they just don't survive. I have never seen that one work ever. Ever. I mean, it always goes south at some point. Maybe a month, maybe a year, maybe 2 years, but it goes south. All right, here's the second one. And I've seen them do this. Now you're going to keep the, you've decided to take the, you're going to keep the child without getting married, but you're going to raise the child together. Now, that's like going to the gas station to get gas without taking your car. That will never work. There's no biblical commitment to the Bible, no biblical commitment to the principles, and there is absolutely no understanding why God gave marriage. So now you're going to take an illegitimate child and keep him in an illegitimate scenario. In other words, you're going to fall right back into what the world is doing. And the problem is that they don't understand, the young man doesn't understand that in the Bible there's a rule of the husband. There's also a rule of the father. He don't get either one of them. But the girl doesn't understand that in the Bible there's a rule of a wife, also a rule of the mother. She don't get either one of those. And, you know, when you don't have that, no rule of a husband will lead to no rule as a father. And no rule understanding of a wife will lead to no rule as a mother. And there's no understanding here of the real commitment that it takes. Now they're going to try to take something that God designed to run this way, and they're going to run it this way. And that is not going to work. Marriage was designed by God, and the handbook for marriage to rerun the right way is the Word of God that you have. And I used to tell them, you know, I used to give them the example, you know, if I come home, you know, and my wife says the dishwasher's not working. And I take a look at it, you know, and I said, well, she's going to, well, I'm going to call the guy to come out to fix it. And I said, well, wait, before you do that, let me take a look at it. Maybe there's just a reset button or something. So I look it all over. And I said, you know, I'm going to, before we do that, get me the owner's manual. It's going to have a page on there when it doesn't work. Try this. So we have, like everybody, we have a drawer that's got 6,400 manuals in it. Everything you ever bought, except I can't find the one for the dishwasher. So what do? Well, I find the one for the washing machine. And so I say, well, I'm going to read the one for the washing machine and try to fix the dishwasher. Now, how stupid is that? You know why? Because they both have water. You both put soap in both of them. And you put optics to get clean in them. But they're two different designs. And the fallacy of me trying to fix my dishwasher with the handbook of the washing machine is like somebody trying to run a marriage without the handbook God gave for it and running it by the handbook of the world. It won't work. And they break down. I mean, it's just that simple. Now, in these scenarios, just so you know, and I've been in them many, many years, you will find two terrible concepts that usually rule the day. We've already talked about emotion. The other one will be selfishness. Selfishness will be the deterrent factor here, thinking of themselves, and you know, and that's how, you know, that's how you got where you're at. It was all about you. The second one will be ignorance. No clue with the situation that you are finding yourself in, what's coming your way, what you're going to have to deal with. Parents are pushing you to do this, and you have no clue what's around that corner that you're going to have to face by yourself, and you were totally unprepared to face it. And in most cases, because it's not handled biblically, and the parents have no biblical process to keep the kids accountable and to do the right thing and to help them, then, you know, the parents, they pretend, they go in, oh, they're hilarious. I've seen this. They go into this la-la land that this is our grandbaby. This is now like it's a legitimate child. Paint the nursery pink or blue. Have a thing. Tell everybody. And everybody that's as stupid as you are out there saying, well, thank you, giving thumbs up. Great, great, great. Are you kidding me? But this is what happens. When you don't have the biblical process to deal with this situation biblical, and you're embarrassed, and you're a quasi-Christian, somebody who thinks that, you know what you got to do? You got to make it legit. And the way you make it legit is pretend it didn't happen the way that it happened. And, boy, I've seen that a lot, man. Oh, boy, it's incredible. And you know what happens? I'm going to tell you. There's no commitment to each other with these kids. There's really no commitment to God in the thing. And, boy, I have seen this happen so many times. Let me tell you, that couple that I've talked about, you know, that was here years ago, you know, that had the two boys and the girl, and the one, you know, kept having illegitimate. Here's what happened. He got the first girl pregnant. They weren't going to get married. Now, he was into drugs and everything else, and she was as bad off as he was. And because they never got married, praise the Lord for that. But here's the tragedy. he was not going to spend any time with the baby. So he leaves the baby to her. He's out doing all that he does with his buddies. She gets fed up with it once in a while. Grandma, you know, she thinks that this is the most wonderful thing in the whole wide world. I got a little grandbaby. You know what happened? That girl left him, took the baby, moved someplace across the country, and nobody ever saw that baby again out of that family. Now, that was okay for the boy because he made another one pretty quickly. But I'm telling you, this is what happened. You know the tragedy that is? Probably. Knowing the father, knowing the parents of the kid, and knowing her, that little baby will probably grow up and wind up in the lake of fire. That kid probably, unless God intervenes, and I'm not saying that he can't, that little baby will grow up, never hear about God, never hear the gospel. Her father who fathered her went on to father other ones who probably went the same route. He goes on in life with mom and dad thinking they're such great Christians, and those little kids die and burn in hell for all of eternity when they grow up. And the devil goes out the door laughing. And I don't care what you think or what you say. It all comes back to bad parenting. Producing children with no value system, that when they get into this situation, the parents are no help because they have no value system. Now, the third one. This is funny. Now, in the third one, the parents step in, and they're going to help raise this child. So, you know, this will always be a disaster. And the reason being, the parents of the kids were the ones who caused this issue in the first place with the parents' complete lack of parenting skills. So now we're going to take the baby and put him under the same parents that raised the kids that got into the problems they got in. How's that going to work for you? So thinking you're going to help out will be like giving a drowning man a drink of water. But here's where the pride comes in. Here's where the selfishness comes in. Here's where the emotions come in. The woman, because she's so far out of touch with the Bible and biblical principles, is operating purely on emotion. And it's a situation where that this is where the tragedies come in. Hey, there has to be a biblical process involved here. There has to be. Somebody has to sit down and have them be accountable for what has happened and make plans for the best thing for that baby. Not for grandma or grandpa, not for the kid or the girl that got pregnant, for the baby. That's the issue here. Because if you don't, it's going to wind up just like number two, and that kid is going to wind up in a lake of fire. At some point, she'll leave, and she'll take the baby, and the boy will never get a lawyer because he's a deadbeat anyhow, and he's already moved on. He's too young. She's too young. He doesn't want to deal with the baby, so it's a relief to him when she goes. She wants to keep the baby, and off she goes. And she goes into the world, marries somebody else that's unsaved, and the kid grows up. This is what happens. I've seen families. Honestly, I don't know how they sleep at night. I've seen families in my years that had kids that were despicable is the only word I can say. And those kids had four or five marriages, three or four marriages, two or three marriages, and produced kids. And those kids got taken from them, the women took and left, and the women were idiots. They were unsaved, they had nothing care about God, they cared nothing about the Word of God, and where those kids are at tonight, they are headed straight for the lake of fire. And the guys who got involved and got them pregnant, they're out partying tonight. They got married again. They gotta go see my vet and be neutered. I'll pay for it. I'll even help him. No anesthetic involved. It's a thing where this is the tragedy. And everybody just goes on like, oh, we're having a great day. You got some grandkids that are going to burn in hell. And nobody cares but me. And that's what you're facing. And it all goes back to bad parenting. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You launch them in life to a target, heaven or hell, and that's what you hit. And it's a tragedy. Now, the fourth one in some cases, there is the option that the kids will get it together. They'll get the help that they need. They'll recognize what they did wrong. And in time, they'll get married and they'll get into a church and get the help they need, going forward. That, in all my years, I've never had that happen. I'm sorry. I wish I could say, you know what, half my case it did that. That's not the way it went down. By the time they get to that point, they're 18 or 19, you have lost as a parent any influence in their life. If you don't have influence in their life as a parent, how do you expect me or anybody in this church to do that? But what has to happen if this scenario is going to work itself out, somebody has to get involved who takes the principles and works on those principles and not through the emotion of it. Somebody has to sit down with them and get a biblical plan, having them understand the mistake that they made, realizing that it's sin, realizing that it's against God, realizing that this is no way, shape, or form like a baby born to somebody who's married that we can all rejoice. This is an illegitimate child in the sight of God. And it's a thing where it's out of wedlock. It bears the shame of fornication. It bears the shame of everything that it goes against the principles of the Word of God. And I'm not saying that somebody can't turn that around. But they got to get into the Bible. Somebody has got to work with them. And then the next thing you do is put some good, solid couples in their world who have good marriages, who have good kids, who can take them under their wing, the woman, the man, and all of us together, put them in the right mindset, in the right direction. Building a support team around them that they never got with the parents. And while the parents are painting the nursery, you know, and trying to get the curtains up, what they need is somebody to sit down and hold them accountable, work with them through the principles, get people involved in their life, and help them get through this. But in 50-plus years of my life and my ministry, I've never had that happen. I've offered it every time. I've talked to the kids involved. I've talked to the parents that produced the kids. I've talked to everybody involved in the thing, and nobody wanted to do it. And it goes back to what I said. You know, and I've had dads tell me and moms tell me too, you know, well, we got them back at our house now, and you know, we're working with them. Oh, that's really good. I'll sleep tonight really well with that one. You're working with them? You mean like you worked with your own kids before they got to this point? Now you're going to work with them again? Boy, that's reassuring. And it's a thing where it always ends in disaster. It always does. Now, the next one is that they get an abortion. Now, obviously, that's not an option for me, but it's an option for a lot of people. Oh, and I've heard this one. 2 weeks ago, I got a phone call. Well, Mary Lou is pregnant by Jimmy Bob from Quick Trip. And, you know, it's a thing where, you know, and we don't know what we're going to do. And we're really doing this and that. And then 2 weeks later, she lost the baby. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord worked it out. She lost a baby. Yeah, she did. It's in a trash can over in a corner. You kidding me? Hey, I've been in too many of these situations, man. I know how bad a parent wants to make it legit. I know how embarrassing it could be to a parent. I've dealt with it. I've seen it. I've seen the pride. I've seen the stupidity. I've seen the arrogance. I've seen the fact that they just cannot admit that they are the problem and it has to be somebody else. So they're always looking for that way out. And because their whole life is a lie with their kids, what's one more little lie about an abortion? And that's how it pops. That's how it goes. That's how it lays itself out. It comes to the point where, you know, that's the deal. And so then who's going to question that? Everybody says, well, that's good. And you know what? You know what happens? I mean, I've seen this happen. I've seen it gets her pregnant again a year later. I mean, things never change unless the Bible gets in there to change it. So, you know, then you have the sixth one. And boy, I've seen this one too. This one, you hide it. You find out your daughter's pregnant. You send her out of town for 9-10 months like she's going to work someplace or going to visit some people. The baby gets put up for adoption. She's gone for a year or so, and she comes back, and nobody is the wiser. And, of course, the problem with that, it may look short-term like it solves your problem, but it really doesn't. Parents covering up sin for their children doesn't teach your children anything. You know what it teaches them? How to cover their other sins. There has to be, as tough as it may be, as hard as embarrassing it may be, there has to be an accountability factor here. There has to be some kind of reckoning. There has to be some kind of protocol that you follow through with. There has to be something that the child, the girl, has to deal with. Shipping her off under a cloak of darkness and lies and telling everybody around that, you know, well, she went to visit her aunt, she's going to go to school out there, or she got a good job out there. You know why that'll never work? Because it'll always leak out. It'll always leak out. She'll tell her best friend, who will keep the secret till she dies or till she's out of town. It never works. It always leaks. It always gets out. And then you've got a double thing to deal with. And it's a thing where it's crazy. You know, parents covering up the sins of their children. That's what this family did. You know, it was this lady, the mom, it was always somebody else's fault for her kid, whatever he did, whatever they did. It was always somebody else's fault. You know, it was this person's fault. It was this person's fault. You know, and in police work, this is called aiding and abetting. It's enabling your kid through dishonesty and deceit, thinking that there's going to be some honor in that. And it's a foul. I'll tell you. You just wait and see how that turns out with your daughter 10, 15, 20 years down the line someplace. See how that works for you. Then we have the seventh. And again, this is the one that it needs to be. But I would never tell somebody to do this. My job is to lay out the options for them. But this is the best scenario for everybody involved. And keep in mind, I'm not talking about the grandparents. I'm not talking about the kids in trouble. I'm talking about for the baby. And that would be to go to a Christian organization and give the baby up the Christian parents who want a baby but can't have one. Now, that's emotionally, and I get that. I can hear somebody already screaming to the top of their lung that you couldn't do that. Yeah, and the reason why you couldn't do that is the same reason why you couldn't do what was right with your kids before they got into the mess. You make bad decisions. And so because of your selfishness, because of your emotions involved in it, you're going to allow that little baby. And I'm just going to tell you something. The real victim here is the little baby. He wasn't asked to be put into this situation. You chose to put yourself in that situation. The parents chose not to be good parents. The kids of those bad parents chose to get into this mess. And now we have an innocent baby here who's going to speak for it. And selfishness and emotion rules the day. And what happens when one of these other five or six scenarios go into play, we often we know what happens to the baby. And that's exactly what will happen. And it's a situation where, you know, it's just a tragedy. You know, given the circumstances, you know, it will always be the best option for the child. But it almost never happens. I think in all of my time, maybe two times. And what happens is when you sit down with these kids, they have to realize they're not ready for a baby. They're not ready for marriage. They're young. They're not ready to give up all that stuff. And it's wrong to put the child who had no choice in this, the worst chance in the world to find Christ is to stay in that scenario. The best option is to realize that you made a mess out of things, learn from your mistakes, clean your life up, get what's right, and then realize that you're 17 or you're 16 or you're 15 or you're 18 or you're 19, and that is not the right age to get married and have a kid, because what will happen will be 1 through 5 or 6. You're going to be too young. You don't want to be straddled down with a baby, and the baby's going to pay the price. And then you guys are going to split at some point, whether you get married or you don't. You're going to split at some point, and the woman will always take the baby. The guy really don't want it to begin with. And then grandma and grandpa's hearts get broken because of the fact that they let their emotions override the common sense of biblical principles. And the baby didn't ask for it this way. Your total disobedience to the Word of God did this. Your own self-serving purpose of serving sin and pleasure for a season did this. The child needs the best chance he or she can get. And unfortunately, boy, this is the tough one, that ain't with you. Because of the bad choices you made, unless you go back and do the one that we talked about where you really turn it around and get into a church that helps you. Having the parents help you who produced the kids who got pregnant, that's not a very good choice. And, you know, it just compounds more bad choices. And it's a situation where instead of biblical principle ruling today, emotions rule today. You know, your biblical responsibility to that child after it's born will most be the same disaster that it was, you know, that you got in life. You lived a lawless life. Now suddenly you're going to bring that baby to church. You're going to teach it the Bible when probably the kids are unsaved. Probably the girl is, and maybe the guy is too. No, it isn't going to happen that way. That baby is going to wind up in a lake of fire. Flushing the child down the toilet of your dysfunctional family is not fair to that child. They need a better chance than you could ever give them. And here's a lesson you better learn. I've seen it and learned it with bitter tears. We have people who come into our church and, you know, they don't have parents, or they have bad parents. And, you know, the parents don't do what's right with them, and they come in to us, and we try to work with them, we try to help them. And many of you have worked with scenarios like that with me, so you know what I'm telling you is true. And I've learned over the years, and some of you have learned, and we have talked about this, that in most cases, no matter what they think about the parents, no matter that they don't even be talking to them, it's hard for us to overcome what the parent did in their life for 15, 16, 17 years. And in most cases, you wind up losing them. Now, I will say this. In a very small handful of situations, I've seen that not to be true. I see situations like this come along, and I don't really say much about it. I kind of like Mary when it happens, when she heard about the Lord Jesus. She didn't tell everybody. She just kind of pondered these things in her heart. I do a lot of pondering in my heart about things. And I'll watch a guy come in or a girl come in, and the parents were a disaster. They're by all odds, they should not be where they're at with the Lord. I've seen them move here from other states and from other places where, you know, they had nobody, and yet they shouldn't be where they're at with the Lord. It's a very small, minute number, and it's a thing where we've all seen it, where God will bring some people in, some young guys in or some gals in, that they have nothing. And they shouldn't be here. They should be out in the world. They should never have gotten to the Word of God and in the ministry and doing the things that they're doing. The odds against them doing that is unbelievable against them. But here they are. You know what I know when I see that? I see something special. I see a young man or a young lady that never should be where they're at. By all rights, they should be out in the world because of the bad parents that they had. But God saw something in them, and I can't explain what. But God reached down and put a hedge about them and got them here where they needed to get everything that they needed to have. And boy, they are something special. They grow. They have more of appreciation of the Lord than you could ever imagine. They've had a bad experience seeing their mom and dad, and yet I'm not saying that they hate their mom and dad, but they understand that mom and dad didn't do them any favors. And now they found a new family. They found a family that's going to love them, educate them, teach them, be there for them, and help them grow. And it's like, in a great coal mine, you'll find lumps of coal in everything, or like oysters. You'll get in 10,000 oysters into your deal, and like 10,000 out of one, you'll find a pearl. In the coal, it takes thousands of tons of pressure for thousands of years, but it'll produce a diamond, and you'll find a diamond. And that's the way it is. With all the lumps of coal out there, with all the oysters and all the normal things of life with all of its problems, there's that diamond. There's that pearl. And God reaches down and gets them out. And when I see that, it's hard for me to even explain it. When I see that, it's almost like I'll be looking at that kid, that gal, and it's almost like God, I can almost hear him whispering in my ear. You see that kid, Bob? Yes, sir, I do. Well, he's special to me. You see that girl, Bob? Yes, I do. Well, she's something special. Yeah, I believe that, Lord. Okay. You give them whatever they need, whatever they want, whatever time it takes. You put the very best you have in their life because they are something special to me. You don't find that very often. But we have a bunch of them here. And we keep getting new ones all the time. And it's a thing where these scenarios, they're absolute. They've been proven for 50 years. I've seen it work, and I've seen it not work. And in most cases, it doesn't work. And illegitimate children, what everybody sees, the embarrassment of that, simply goes back to illegitimate parenting. Train up a child in the way he should go. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. So, when I get into a scenario like this, And I've been in it many, many times. And so will you as we move through this together with where we're going and what we're going to do. This is how you deal with it. You never tell them what to do. You show them their options. And honestly, in any one of these scenarios, whatever they decide, even if I know it's going to be a disaster, I will try to be there to help them. Because at some point, they may go rock bottom and you have to help them pick up the pieces. It's a thing where you never actually give up on them, even though they give up on you. But you always want to keep that door open. If that guy calls you and says, hey, man, my life's really screwed up. I should have listened. I didn't do what was right. Can you help me? Absolutely. It never comes to the place where you say, well, you had your chance, pal. You know, you made your bed. Lay in it. Nah, you don't do that. You try to help them wherever you can. In most cases, you never get the chance. But it doesn't matter. You do what's right with the Bible. And you pray that those grandkids or those kids that get scattered out because of the illegitimacy of the whole scenario, I pray every night. I got a list of those kids. I pray every night. God, they're the innocent victims here. They have they didn't ask for this. They got put in the most godless, perverted situation on the planet. And they got churned out into the grinding wheel of this world. They got a mother or a father who could care nothing about God. And now they're raising those little girls. They're raising those little guys. And mom's probably hooked up with a drug addict. The boy's probably hooked up with some crack addict. And they're out there doing their own thing. And they never think one time about those kids that they produced that are headed for the lake of fire. And I pray every night. I got a little list of them. And I say, God, I don't know where they're at. I don't know what they're doing. I just ask you. They're the innocent ones. Try, please, Lord, get somebody to them that can bring them to Jesus before it's too late. Grandparents didn't do it with their kid. The kids didn't do it when they produced them. Now they're out there someplace, God knows where. And Lord, I'm asking you, please, get somebody to them that can show them your truth. Break that cycle and get them in the family of God. Well, anyway. So that's the principles that you have there, and you got it. We'll use that as we go through. Anybody have any questions about any of that before we move on? We got time for maybe one or two more questions. Anybody? Well, I thought there'd be 30, 40, 50 questions out of this one. Nobody. Yeah. Okay. Anybody got a question? Next question then. We got one on the tube back there. Anybody got one here? I'll give you first here. Anybody? Okay. Let's get it.
All right, so the question is, how does a Christian put the vaccine mandates into perspective through the Bible?
Say what now?
How does a Christian put the vaccine mandates into perspective through the Bible?
Well, you know, I don't know if you heard Biden today. He just came in with his 666 mandates for the COVID-19 situation. And, you know, it's a thing where if he didn't get it, his mandate now, just so you know, his mandate now is that if you're a federal worker, you work for the government. Originally, it was that if you work for the government in a federal government position, if you didn't get the vaccine, you get the shot, you had to get tested every week. Well, he came out today and said that that's off the table now. If you don't get the shot, you get terminated. Go fire you. That extends also to the people out there that are contractors, you know, people who work for the government as subcontractors. I don't know if you're going to fire them, but it's a mandate that they have to get done with that. I don't know how that's going to work. Also, with that, you're going to find that he's saying that across the country, if you have a business that has 100 or more people, you have to mandate that all those people that work for you get the vaccine, or they will fine you $14,000 per person per deal. And the way they're tying this in is because the obviously the federal guys are going through the federal government. The businesses of 100 or more, that's coming through HUD. Now he's going to make a mandate that every soldier in the military gets it, just like when you go in the military, you get shots in both arms. You walk down the line and they like a pincushion out of you. But now they're going to add this to it. If you fly an airplane, if you fly on an airplane, if you give them a problem on your mask, you get a double fine. I didn't even know there was a fine, but you get a double fine. And then all nursing home, all healthcare people, any organization that is connected with Medicare, Medicaid, they all have to get it. This is not an option anymore. Now, and then he asked for movie theaters, sports arenas, and places of fun and entertainment to make you show your ID that you've been vaccinated, passport to get into, all that stuff. Now, I say all that to say this. There is a tendency in politics to get up and make big, boisterous speeches to try to get people to think that you really got a handle on things. And 2 weeks later, we're on to something else. Now, some of that will probably carry it through. Now, I got to say this. There were two exemptions to all this, and I don't understand all of this at this point. But there are two exemptions to all this. One was if you have a medical condition, you could get exempted. And two, believe it or not, if you have religious convictions, you can get out of it. So now, the answer to the question, how do you balance all of this out? This is not a biblical issue in any way, shape, or form. If you notice that I haven't got on a pulpit about it, I haven't got into it. It's not a Bible issue. This is a personal issue that you have to decide for yourself. And it's purely an issue based on you researching it out. If you think that I'm going to get in the pulpit and tell you to get a shot and then down the line someplace it kills you, or if I'm going to get up and say, don't get the shot, and then you die, and the last words on your mouth, or why did you preach that message? That's not my job. Your job is to investigate the evidence. And it really comes down to two different deals. One, you don't get the shot because you don't trust it because you don't know what it's going to do for you. And it may give you some protection now, but you may wind up, you know, turning into a dog or a sheep down the line someplace. So 30 years from now, you know, that's your fear. And, it's a thing where that's one. The other one is that if you don't get it, you may get COVID-19 now and you may die and you may be bad. It's whatever, one or the other. You have to decide that. You have to decide that based on your own personal relationship with God of which way you're going to trust him. I can't tell you that. And I don't want to know because it's none of my business. I'm not going to ask you, did you get the shot? If you got bleary eyes, I may ask you if you had one or two before you came here. But I'm not going to ask you if you got the shot. It's none of my business. That's between you and God and whoever you want it to be between, but it isn't me. I don't want to know. It's none of my business. The thing you don't want to happen, and this is what will happen, if it becomes a biblical issue, then you know what? All the people that get it will be the bad guys or the good guys, depending on which side you fall on, and all the people that don't get it will either be the good guy, and it'll be a division. And there is not going to be a division in this church over this because it isn't a biblical issue. It's your own personal medical profile that you have to decide for yourself, and I support you either way you go. I know there's people in my church that wouldn't get it, and I support you in that 100%. I know that there's people in the church here that did get it or will get it. I support you 100%. None of my business. It will never become an issue in this church. They will never come to this church and tell me, as your pastor, your people can't come to church unless they have a passport of their vaccination, because the terminology that I will use will be probably not very good for your kids to hear. Because you know what? You're not going to tell me in this church and make this an issue. It is your choice. You have to get on. You have to find the... But I tell you this. Stay away from the goofy people. I got a friend of mine who won't get it because he's sure that it's got the Antichrist DNA in it. And he's not going to get it because he doesn't want the Antichrist DNA. I've had people email me when it all started, you know, with this vaccine, you know, was going to put the devil's DNA in you. And I text them back. I got some terrible news for you. You already got the devil's DNA in you. So it's a thing where it's your choice. There, you have to look at it and you have to make up your own mind. I have my own feelings about it. I wouldn't tell you what they are, because the moment I do, come on, you know the influence I have over you. If I gave you all poison Kool-Aid right now, you'd all drink it. Bring it on in. You would too. We'd make you drink it. We'd hold it down and throw it down your throat. But anyway, I'm not going to be put in the position that you say I'm going to do it or not do it because of what Bob did. You ain't going to get that from me. I am not going to be responsible either way. If it goes south, either way, it's your decision, not mine. And I'm going to be very careful that I don't influence you one way or the other. You investigate it for yourself. Do the work. Check it out. You come to your own conclusion. Whatever conclusion you come to, I'm good with. You will not find me putting out a mandate that, you know, one way or the other, or this is what I did, so you can think, well, if Bob did it, then that must be the right. I'm not going that way with it. Now, for soul winning, I'll do it. Reading your Bible through 50 times a year, you can follow me on that one. This, it's on you. You have to decide for yourself by doing the research, getting the material together. Look at where you're at. I'll go as far as just telling you this. I don't believe anything the government tells me. Not a thing. They have lied to us in every way. But that's what governments do. They lied about the UFO. They lied about Roswell. They lied about Kennedy assassination. They lied about this. They lied about that. They lie about everything. That's how they stay in power. And I'm okay with that, because I know there's going to come a time when God judges nations just like he judges individuals, and it'll be liar, liar, pants on fire. I get that. And I'm okay with that. I'm smarter than the problem. I know, I guarantee you right now, and I will go to my grave believing this without any doubt at all, the coronavirus, that's a cigar, COVID-19 was a biological weapon out of China. It was manufactured. I guarantee you it was. And our country was involved in it some way or the other. That's why they don't want to hold China accountable. I mean, I'm not stupid. You know, bioweaponry, they're always looking for things to kill people without bullets so they can go in and take their country. And I'm telling you, what on this planet could, in what, 2 years, sweep across the whole world and then remanufacture itself now in another form, and it will be another form after that, and will be another form after that? And it's a thing, and if you don't think, however you want to go with it, that whether you get it or not, based on your two options, if you don't think that all of this doesn't play into the mystery of iniquity of already work. She asked me, you asked me about the captivity in the Old Testament and about, well, how does that relate to us? And I told her, I said, in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel went into captivity because they didn't do what was right with the Word of God. They went into a physical captivity. Babylon, Assyria, and then you know the rest of it from Daniel 2. we have now entered into our own captivity. They dumped the word of God. They went into captivity. We dumped the word of God. Now we're in our captivity, except ours is a spiritual one. Theirs was physical, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Ours is a spiritual, kingdom of God. But we are in a captivity, and we look at our, I look at myself in this captivity, just like Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all the prophets, Daniel. They went into the captivity. They were subjected to some of the most horrendous stuff that you would never believe. But you know what? God got them through. And they made their choices based on the Word of God and their relationship with God, and God led them through it. And that's where you need to be. Don't look to me on this one. This is not a biblical issue. This is something that you have to decide for yourself, because the moment I take a stand on it, then some people are going to say, well, Bob must know what he's doing, so I'm going to do what he's doing. And then something goes south down the line, then you know what? I'm not going to be responsible for that. It's a thing where you have to make your own choice. I'm not influencing you one way or the other on this. You have to figure it out for yourself. Yeah. Well, we do. We've got one coming down here.
So today I received the religious exemption form for, you know, not wanting to take the vaccine and stuff. And the first thought that came to my mind was knowing that churches are a target and everything. Knowing that, like, churches are going to, you know, going to be targeted because of the spiritual warfare, right? So my mentality first went to, okay, well, if we fill out these forms, you know, then they're going to know who all's within different, you know, like if we fill out the exemption forms, then have our names as targets.
What form are you filling out?
Like the religious exemption form to not have the shots.
Oh, well, you think they don't know where we are?
Well, they might. Okay. Okay. Touche.
You think they don't know where we are? That the whole world is just waiting for your form. What do you think, Terry? You think they know where we're at? You betcha they do. You're probably sitting there watching your TV program, and they're watching you through the TV. You're on your cell phone, and they're saying, there he is right there walking down the road, you know. So anyway, yeah, it's a thing where, hey, here's my position on it. I don't care. It is what it is. I know God's going to take care of me no matter what. So it's one of those things where it's not an issue for me. I'm like Jeremiah. I'm like Ezekiel. I'm like Daniel. I'm in the captivity. And I look at those guys' lives and how they were up against impossible situations. That's why I led you the way I did through the virus thing we went through last year. Everybody else was scared and running around like a chicken with a head cut off and hiding into the bed and all those things. You know what? Hey, we're in our spiritual Babylon captivity, man. And you know what? Did you see Daniel doing that? He kept on doing what God wanted him to do, and God elevated him to the third place in the kingdom. So Joseph went through the same thing. He got elevated to the second place in the kingdom. And it's a thing where, you know what? When your brethren sell you into Egypt, if God is your God, you'll wind up being pretty high up in the deal, and God will take care of you. And that's all the father I look. I don't care. Somebody says they're gonna kill us all. Praise the Lord. Amen. Having the body be present with the Lord. I'm okay. You know what? It's things over anyhow. I mean, I have given up. I mean, I enjoy life. I like to do things. I got up this morning. It was a beautiful morning, and, you know, walked and enjoyed the sunset. But I'm not under the illusion that this little life on planet Earth is over. We're just going to get a few whiffs of fresh air before it all clouds up, man. And what you're seeing, not in just America, around the world, it's all closing and caving in. But I'm okay with it. You know why? Because that's the way it's got to go. I want to get home to heaven, man. If I got to go through this little bitty measly, pleasly stuff to get there, then I'm okay with it, man. I'm good to go. I'm not afraid of anything. It's a thing where there's nothing that greater is he that's in me that's in the world. I'm expecting it all to go south, And I'm expecting, you know, again, just like when the coronavirus hit, when the COVID-19 hit back in the day, you know what? All the great people who were going to stand for God for the last 30 years of my life, they were nowhere to be found. And now that it's resurged again, they probably just got a bigger rock they're hiding under. But it was the test for every one of us. And if you think that's the last test, I guarantee you, we're sitting here tonight and you're talking about how the fact that you'll stand forever and love the Lord. Let me tell you something. It's going to get a lot worse than it did a year ago. And we'll see 2 years from now who's still standing. And it'll be a thing where, you know, we'll stand right to the end, some of us. That's why we'll go home. That's how we'll go out. And it's a thing where, you know, it's not my call. And I will not be put in the position to make that call for you or make it easy for you. I'll make the Bible easy. I'll show you the context. I'll show you heresy. I'll show you what's right. I'll show you what's wrong. But when it comes to this, you're on your own. You get with God, get in that book, and you figure it out and search it out yourself. And then you, through your relationship with God, you get to trust him one way or the other. And it ain't my business. And I don't want to know. I don't want to know. And I, you know, it's a thing where, I'll tell you right now, and, you know, it's a thing where right now they're leaving churches alone pretty much. I mean, they're giving you a religious exemption. But don't fill it out because they don't know where we're at. They'll use it, man. I've already gonna sign one. Use it, and as long as they'll make it available, and as long as you can get away with it, do it. I don't know how long that will be, but right now, you know, it's a thing where they got to be careful. And this is where you get under the umbrella. You know, Bob Jones Sr. used to say, "If the devil's going your way, ride him." And that sounds really not biblical, but there's a lot of truth to it. And the reason why they're not going to come down and attack churches per se is because if they do churches, then they got to attack the Catholic Church. And that is going to cause them some problems. So we're under that umbrella to a certain degree because we're a church. They can't clobber Christian churches without clobbering the Catholic Church because it'll go to pieces. So right now, you know, and it may change, but right now it's just where it's at. So we're just going to keep doing what we do, keep obeying the law, keep following it, and up to the point that puts us in a position where it violates the Bible, and then we'll go from there. But that is your call. And I appreciate the question. I've purposely not got into it because none of my business. And I'm not going to tell anybody what they should do or what they shouldn't do. You may find people out there that will bombard you with all kinds of stuff, you know, and that's fine if you want to listen to it and read it. If it's good stuff, listen to it. But at the end of the day, don't do it because somebody told you to do it. You figure it out yourself. If I'm smart enough not to tell you to do it or not do it, then don't listen to somebody else who's going to tell you to do it or not do it. You figure it out for yourself. End of story. Ask that guy if that helped him.